Okay, it's past 5:45. I'd like to call this public hearing to order.
We don't have to do a roll call or anything.
Okay.
So, John,
if you would, please.
Thank you. It's customary for us to read the notice of public hearing as it appeared in the paper. St. Lawrence County will hold a public hearing on Monday, June 4th at 5:45 at the Board of Legislators Chamber in the County Courthouse for the purpose of hearing public comments on St. Lawrence County's current Community Development Block Grant Project. This would be our Direct Home Ownership Assistance Program, round number 22. It was funded at $850,000. The CDBG program is administered by the New York State Office of Community Renewal and provides resources to eligible local governments for housing, economic development, public facilities, public infrastructure, and planning activities, with the principal purpose of benefiting low and moderate income persons. This hearing will provide further information about the process of the ongoing CDBG project. Comments related to the effectiveness of administration of this project will be received at this time. The hearing is being conducted pursuant to section, long part, subpart 1 of the CFR and in compliance with the requirements of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974. County Courthouse is accessible to persons with disabilities. Written comments may also be submitted to Keith Zimmerman, Director of Planning, at the courthouse here until the end of June, June 29th, 2018. In September 2016, St. Lawrence County applied for $850,000 in funding through the Community Development Block Grant Program, also known as CDBG, in order to establish the 22nd round of its Direct Home Ownership Assistance Program, also known as DHAP 22. The county's DHAP was designed to assist low and moderate income households to purchase existing homes by providing a buy down on the mortgage, payment of most closing costs, and assistance to rehabilitate the housing unit. The application was successful. The county was awarded $850,000. A grant agreement was signed. It stipulated that all funds must be expended by December 14th of 2018. The agreement anticipated that 29 households would be assisted. The county estimated that all program funds, which accounted to $450,000 for mortgage buy-down, $266,000 for rehabilitation, and program delivery at about $90,000, would provide a direct benefit to low and moderate income households. This ratio of $807,000 to the $850,000 total equals 95%. That well exceeds the minimum 70% threshold for LMI benefits that was established by HUD. The New York State Community Block Grant Administration Manual requires that recipients hold two public hearings, one during the process of preparing the application and the other during the administration of the application in order to report on the progress and any problems with the project. We are required to report on the following things. First, the amount of CDBG funds made available. As I reported earlier, $850,000 total. Of that, as I said, $807,000 is used for mortgage buy-down, rehabilitation, and program delivery. And then $42,500 is for administration. The activities that we have undertaken with this CDBG award, 19 units have been completed. That means that mortgages have been made, units have been rehabilitated, and people are living in them. An additional nine units have had mortgages completed, people are living in them, and rehabilitation is underway, for a total of 28 units. Purchase prices for these homes have ranged from $30,500 to $87,500. 26 of these units required rehabilitation. Only two required no rehabilitation. Rehab costs have ranged from a minimum of $4,000 to a maximum of $49,800. The amount of CDBG funds made available for activities that benefit LMI national objective As I reported earlier, this was 95% direct benefit to LMI households. We are required to report if CDBG activities resulted in displacement of households, and I'm pleased to say no households were displaced. Progress towards goals, program goals and objectives. We proposed completing 29 units. We expect to deliver 28 units. This is 96% of the proposed goal. We are asked to we're required to provide for and encourage citizen participation. That's the purpose of tonight's hearing. And we are to provide citizens with a reasonable opportunity to comment on these activities. Citizens have until the end of this month, June 29th, to submit comments to Keith Zimmerman. There is a copy of the handout that I've been reading from up front. Mr. Zimmerman's address is on the backside. So if you want to send comments to him, his name and address is right there. And before I complete this presentation, I'd just like to mention the Community Development Block Grant history in St. Lawrence County. We've been administering CDBG projects since 1982. In all, we have obtained 23 grants to do home ownership assistance. We have obtained 27 grants to rehabilitate substandard units. We have been able to help over 1,180 low-income households. This equals about 3,000 low-income people, and the 1,180 houses include about almost 3% of all housing stock in St. Lawrence County. We estimate an economic impact from this of over $60 million. Now, other communities in St. Lawrence County have successfully secured and administered CDBG-funded housing programs on their own. These include the city of Ogdensburg, the villages of Governor, Messina, and Potsdam, and the towns of Fowler and Madrid. CDBG funds have also been used in St. Lawrence County for community planning projects, for water and sewer projects, for community centers, and economic development projects. Are there any questions?
So at this time, any citizen wanting to address the board is asked to stand at the microphone during the time that they address the board. The address will be limited to a time of 5 minutes. Please state your name before beginning your address. Is there anyone that wishes to speak or ask Mr. Tenbush any questions concerning this project? Not at this time. Any comments from the legislative body? I just want to thank you, John, for the efforts of the county planning office. That's quite an economic impact. Almost 1,200 homes that really helps out.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you. So I declare this public hearing closed. We will reconvene for a regular meeting, board meeting at 6 o'clock. Are they coming in? So come on. I'd like to call this board meeting to order. Kelly, roll call, please.
Hooper, Forsythe,
here.
Lightfoot,
here.
LaPierre,
here.
Leader,
here.
Denisha,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Akers,
here.
Fay,
here.
Timmerman,
here.
Colbert,
here.
Burke,
here.
Arquette,
here.
Paquin,
here.
Bell,
here.
14 present.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Denisha, would you offer the prayer, and then we'll follow that by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your continued blessings that allow us the privilege of assembling as free people of the United States of America, and free people of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask that you grant us understanding, courage, tolerance, clarity, and purpose. All our actions and deliberations, not only as elected representatives, but also in our day-to-day lives, and all those whom we may have cause to interact with. May our faith continue to grow beyond our doubts, and bring us together in unity of purpose. May you be gracious to us.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I entertain a motion for approval of tonight's agenda. Mr. Forsyth, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes of May 7th. Mr. Perkins, is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Bell. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution proclaiming June as Dairy Month and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. LaPierre. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So tonight we have some dairy royalty here, and who's going to do the introductions? Maureen? Okay. Should you have them sit right up, stand right up here? They can individually introduce themselves. Yes? Yep. Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Myra Bullock, the granddaughter of William and Sheila Bullock. I'm in third grade. I attend Edwards Knox Central School. I'm a St. Lawrence dairy promoter.
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a promoter. I'm 11 years old, and I represent Willow Shade Farm and attend Colton Pierpont Central School.
Hello, my name is Caitlin Putman. I live on a 70-cow dairy farm. My parents are Clark and Nancy Putman. I am in fifth grade at Madrid Waddington Central School, and I'm a dairy ambassador.
Hello, my name is Michael Pierce. I'm 12 years old and going into eighth grade. I am homeschooled. My parents are Carolyn and Kelvin Pierce of Ranch Veterinarians in Hewelton.
Hello, I'm Sarah Rohde. I attend Canton McKinney Middle School. I am eighth grade and I'm from the Rohde family farm.
Hello, I'm Chloe Renault. My grandparents are Alan and Beth Martin. I am a junior at Governor High School.
Hello, my name is Maureen Pierce. I am St. Lawrence County's 54th Dairy Princess, and I would just like to thank you all for letting us come in tonight and declare June as Dairy Month, and I'd also like to thank you for your support of the farmers. The farmers really do need your support because farmers haven't really seen good milk prices in several years, and the majority of the farmers actually have to have a second income from one of the family members to make ends meet. Each cow is actually over $13,000 impact to the economy, and as you might know, St. Lawrence County has the highest number of dairy farms in the state. They also need your support because consumers today are having an increasing disinterest in milk products and are switching over to less nutritious alternative milks. And we want everyone to know what milk does for your health and how good it is for you. And so tonight, after your meeting, we have snacks out here with cheese and milk punch. Thank you.
Okay, we have some speakers. Kelsey.
Good
Good evening, everybody. My name is Kelsey O'Shea, and I work with Cornell Cooperative Extension as the Farm Business Management Specialist. I serve a six-county region, including St. Lawrence County, and primarily work with farmers on anything that's not actually farming. So that means payroll, that means accounting, that means regulations, all that sort of stuff, business structure, business planning. The reason I'm here this evening, we wanted to bring a couple people with us to talk about how dairy farming specifically is impacting St. Lawrence County, impacts the local economy, and really helps us drive this county. So what I wanted to tell you guys is a couple of statistics that I live and work in. So in this county, there's two agricultural districts with a total of around 420,000 acres being used for farming, and about a little more than half of that actually being cropped. Now, when we talk about dairy cows, there's, as of the 2012 Ag Census, which a new one will be coming out in as of 2017, so be sure to look out for that data as well, there were 33,604 dairy cows in this county on 286 farms. This totaled sales, milk sales, of $132,257,000. So when we talk about an economic driver, this is a pretty big section of our county. The operations in St. Lawrence County, there were 785 of those principal operators, and then basically of those, they list farming as their primary occupation on their tax return, with the remainder of 518 operators operating as what we would call part-time or listing a different industry as their primary source of income. What else I wanted to share with you is just a couple of statistics on as far as what we're paying for payroll on farms. So when we look at this data, it's all available through New York State. In 2016, under the category of animal production, in St. Lawrence County, there were 26 operations subject to unemployment, so henceforth reporting on a regular basis to New York State. On those 26 operations, they were employing around 416 people, with about an average of $13,800,000 of wages annually. So this equates out to about $33,365 of annual salary towards each individual employee. So I get asked a lot whether or not farmers are paying a livable wage. I don't have a great answer to what a livable wage is. There's lots of different ways to define it. But what I would say is, looking at those numbers and comparing them to other industries as it's listed per this New York State data, farming is very competitive. It's a very competitive career for people. There's lots of opportunities for advancements on farms in this county. Who I'll have come up here next to talk to you is Stephanie McBath. She lived in this county and has moved on to attend Cornell University, and she's going to talk about basically her journey from coming from the county to looking at agriculture from both a statewide and a national level.
Good evening, everyone. As Kelsey said, my name is Stephanie McBath. My family resides in Waddington, New York, but I am going into my senior year at Cornell. And I just kind of want to start out by saying thank you all so much for your continued support of the Dairy Princess program, of the dairy farmers in your county. This is a huge opportunity for them, and we're really excited that you continue to recognize June as National Dairy Month, especially here in St. Lawrence County. So my roots are here. Both of my parents grew up in St. Lawrence County, but I grew up in Saratoga County, excuse me, in eastern New York. And I guess my passion for agriculture, though, it started here. My mother is part of what is now a fourth generation dairy farm, Maple View Dairy. She chose not to be a farmer or go back home after she went to college, but always made sure that both my sister and I, and even my father, understood the importance of dairy farming and understood the importance of not being or not having to grow your own food every single day. And so when I was visiting, it was always, I want to go to the farm, I want to see the cows, I want to be out there. And that's where it began for me. As I came up through elementary and middle school, I started to be involved in 4-H, showed cows at the county fair, all those fun things. Then I became involved in FFA. I was a chapter president in high school, became involved in the New York Junior Holstein Association, was a Saratoga County Dairy Princess, and then my senior year had the honor of being the New York State Dairy Princess. And it was pretty much at that time that I said, okay, this is what I know how to do, and this is what I love. And, you know, when it came time to decide what I was going to do with the rest of my life, there was no other choice for me. And I think that really is just a testament to these programs that bring kids, whether you come from a farm or not, whether you're raised every day on a farm or not, give you exposure. I traveled the country as a 4-H member. I've been internationally. I've been to China and Italy as a member of the Dairy Science Club at Cornell. And I've seen agriculture in a way that I never thought I could see it before. And it's because of these programs that I've been able to have all of these opportunities and, you know, kind of consider this as a career for me. So when I graduate in a year, which is absolutely terrifying, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. But I can say that agriculture is going to be a part of it. And being an advocate for this dairy industry that has gotten me to where I am today, that's going to be a part of my life forever. It's been a period of reflection for me over the past few weeks. I came home for a couple weeks, and on Saturday, I'm driving down to D.C. to start my internship on the Hill in Congresswoman Elise Stefanik's office for this summer. And I can honestly say that opportunity would have never been presented to me if it weren't for the people that I knew in this industry, the experiences that I've had, and the passion that I've grown to develop over the course of the past 20 years of my life. I look around at my peers, even in the classroom at Cornell. People can't talk to people. They don't have those soft skills. They haven't learned real-world experience. And I'm so grateful that things like this and the Dairy Princess program and 4-H and all of that gave me the opportunities to grow and develop outside of the classroom. Being on the farm is the same thing. The values that you learn, even though I didn't live there every day, the hard work, the value of a dollar, taking care of animals, that kind of stuff, is what has allowed me to have all these experiences that I'm extremely grateful for. So we just want you to keep that in mind as we talk about, you know, involvement and keeping youth active within the county. There's a lot of opportunities for youth to come back to here, especially when they graduate and be involved in agriculture. And Kelsey runs an internship program that brings students from agriculture universities across the state to St. Lawrence County to see what the opportunities are here. And those types of things are what is going to keep agriculture thriving here, keep a diverse group of students involved, and diversity is going to be huge, and keep our message strong. So thank you so much, and I wish you all a very happy National Cheese Day, and June is Dairy Month.
Thank you, Stephanie. Patty?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. My name is Patty Gilbert, and I am one of the instructors. I work for St. Lawrence Lewis BOCES, and I run the Agriculture Studies Academy. We're held at the Cooperative Extension. We're in our second year right now, and we offer a program to senior students for the full day. Next year, we're going to be offering a half-day program for juniors and seniors. And we get to teach about agriculture. And Stephanie mentioned a lot of the things and the passion for why I do what I do every single day. I have students that come to my program that don't have any experience. I have farm students, and so we bring them together, and we get to learn about agriculture, and specifically dairy. So I grew up on a dairy farm as well, down in Shenango County near Norwich, about 60 cows, and I married a dairy farmer and live in Parrishville, and his family and I, we run a 1,200-cow dairy. So dairying is a passion of mine, and I get to share it every day with my students and really live the passion that Stephanie mentioned in terms of seeing what farming is, and farming is family. And so in the program, we focus on community. We talk to all the agribusinesses that support the farmers, how it supports the economy. One of my great success stories, a student last year, her name is Chelsea Smith. She came from Madrid, Waddington. She's studying dairy science down at Morrisville, and she came back and did an internship on a farm here and hopes to have employment here. And so that is our goal, is to get students back to our county. Agriculture is thriving here. We're proud of it. I love being part of the community that makes a wholesome, nutritious product for everybody. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and so when I go and I do advocacy for farming, I say I feed her the same milk that I feed you. And so I like to show the students the decisions that we make on a daily basis to make that most wholesome product. So thank you again for your support. I'm really glad to be here today, and happy to June Dairy Month.
Thank you, Patty. There are some 3:30 in the morning internships available in my area also for any legislators or press that's interested. We're going to take, is that all they have for speakers? We're going to take a break, and we'll consume some dairy products, some cheese, and some milk punch. So we'll recess for a few minutes. Thank you. Okay, let's get started. Thank you for supporting the dairy farmers of St. Lawrence County by getting some of that product off the shelf. Okay. So next up is communications. Kelly, do we have any communications?
Thank you card was received from Legislator Lightfoot for the card, Dish Garden prayers and condolences on the passing of his mother. Two resolutions were received, one from Board of Supervisors of Seneca County and one from Cataraqui County Board of Legislators supporting Senate Bill 8210, amending executive law in relation to the cost of maintenance and operation of veteran service agencies.
That's it. Okay, thank you. Next up is citizen participation. Any citizen wanting to address the board is asked to stand at the microphone during the time that they address the board. The address will be limited to a time of 5 minutes. Please state your name before beginning your address. Is there anyone that would like to speak? Mr. Nelson.
Hi. Bill Nelson, Lisbon, New York. It was actually great to be here tonight, seeing the dairy princesses in the court here, and to hear those young people, our future, being that I was raised at a dairy farm as well. Very proud of it. I'm here tonight to talk about one of the action items on your agenda tonight, and I was asked a few minutes ago if I had an opportunity to vote myself a raise while I was in office. I served offices of the mayor for 16 years in the city of Augsburg at a salary of $7,000. Never had a raise in that time. I had the opportunity to vote for one, but I never voted for one. Came out, I think when I did my analysis, like $4.82 an hour or something like that. But as we all know, each of us does our job for public service because we really want to serve the public and do a good job. And I consider myself a fiscal conservative, and I am, surprisingly, you're probably going to wonder, I am supporting your resolution to grant an increase to the county legislative board. And there's a couple of reasons why, and I know one of the things I read in a paper, one of the legislators said about Generation Y, the millennials, getting those individuals involved in public service. I think, as we all know, getting people to volunteer for our boards, getting people to run for office, you know, it becomes more difficult every year. And I truly think that Generation Y group is in it, is out there, what's in it for me. And if you don't make it relatively worthwhile, you're probably not going to get people that really want to serve. So, you know, I know how many hours you folks put in from my experience as an elected official. And, you know, I believe in compensating our employees for doing a good job. And I think this county legislative body has done a good job over the last 3 or 4 years in turning the budget around. When you didn't have to borrow money this year to pay your bills, that $10 million or whatever, I think that speaks very well for us as taxpayers. My concern is that you're voting the raise all, or at least as it appears, all in 1 year. What I would recommend, much like you do with the CSEA contract and other contracts that you have employees with, is you put it in the course of the duration of that contract. So my point would be, maybe over the course of 4 years, the next term of the next board of legislators, take that, those increases and prorate them 25% over the each year over those 4 years until you get to that that increase. I think that would be much more fair than taking a lump sum against the taxpayers, I guess, so to speak. And, you know, we've heard it said that employees are our greatest asset. And I guess so if you do opt to vote yourselves a raise, which I am supportive of, then just remember that when the other employees come here to seek out a raise for their contracts and their service to the county employees. And as county legislators, you are our leaders, and I think you need to lead by example for the taxpayers and for the county employees. And I believe you would truly send a very strong message saying, hey, we'll support, if you choose to support. I don't know where any of you stand on the raise, but if you choose to implement that raise, that doing it over that 4 years, I think would be a good message to send to us, the taxpayers, and also to your team members, the employees of the St. Lawrence County. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Anyone else? Mr. Green.
Patrick Green, starving rancher, especially with the price of milk. Now these big dairies are dumping their cows, and a lot of people don't know the difference between Angus beef and Old Holstein, so it affects the whole market. JFK in his inaugural address said, "And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought and are still at issue around the globe, the belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." We all know what happened to JFK. But what he said was true, and we live in a nation now that thinks the state is God. And it's something to do with you people giving yourself a raise. No nation in history has survived that legitimized sodomy and gross sexual excess. No nation has survived whose leaders plundered future generations. I hear you people did a great job, but on whose back? The state is $361 billion in debt, and right now, after this Trojan horse called Trump is done, will be another $1.5 trillion in the United States. The way you people settled your problems here was the same way as Willie, what's his name? He came from here. He was a road superintendent, Dasnayan, came into Lisbon, who had some problems, and he brought grant money. I notice your IDA right now is pushing a five-year plan, which sounds a lot like old Uncle Joe Stalin, in which he's going to teach these towns how to search for grants. Well, there's no money out there to search for. It's all debt. There's many forms of slavery. We know the misfortunes of these people of color who suffered slavery. We hear of sex slavery, but seldom do we think of debt slavery. And what we are doing right now by passing this off on future generations is we're setting up problems for the future when we're all going to be dead and gone. But as we're here, that is a simple answer so we can live, as I see that the state workers do with other people's money, a conspicuous lifestyle amongst the people. Many of us can't conceive the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion. Well, I heard it on television and I did the math myself. A million seconds is last week, 12 days ago. A billion seconds is 33 years, 1985. A trillion seconds is 33,000 years, which would put us back to 30,982 BC. And we stand $22 trillion in debt. You people took, I think it was $26 million from the feds and 50-some million from the state in which to settle your debts and disagreements. But this is on the backs of others. I did some study on the 14th Amendment, and it says that anybody who is insurrection or rebellion against the state is and any debts they incur are to be held illegal and void. Now, to me, it seems like these government unions, the CSEA, I noticed in your paper there, part of your raise is coming because of what you've done for the CSEA, and I noticed on these several boards that there will be school teachers here, or correctional officers on a school board raising, going for a raise for the school teachers. And by the way, we're 40th in the world on education. 63 years ago, we were number one. Now that we're down to 40, I think that the school teachers' wages should have been held accordingly. If their job performance has dropped so horrible in this world, how could they possibly be worth a raise every year? They say the average is $60,000. Well, let's not forget about their pensions and their health insurance. But instead, they keep getting raises, and the children of this country suffer more and more every day. They're going to suffer this with this debt slavery in which you are attacking these people with. Remember, you all took an oath to defend this nation against all enemies and foreign and domestic. And I know it'd be hard for you people to consider yourself domestic enemies. I would like the sheriff of St. Lawrence County to investigate the 14th Amendment, to investigate this debt slavery that the various forms of government from the county to the state to the federal is attacking our children with. And I think that some of you people should be prosecuted. because I think it's against the law, according to the Fourth Amendment, to do that to the children of the future. But you'll do what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Anyone else?
Ken Putney from Lisbon. I'm afraid for my child, for the debt we are incurring. There's no reason for it. It's unforeseeable. These young people out here that we're looking forward to our great future, I'm glad they're in the agricultural business. I myself am. I don't think they have much choice, though, because the private lands of this town and this county are being bought up by banks, which are owned by our government. Our government has no business owning land, controlling the people. They will not have a future in agricultural, because the prices will drop. I don't know how to correct it, and I hope some of you can help us, because we are in a bad way in this nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Putney. Anyone else? Okay, that concludes our citizens' participation. Presentation of the resolutions. Mr. Hooper is not here. Mr. Forsyth, would you, you don't have your thing in front of you. Mr. Arquette, would you read Mr. Hooper's resolutions for us, please? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I offer a resolution adding 11 parcels totaling 417.5 acres to St. Lawrence County Agricultural Districts 1 and 2 and move for its adoption.
Okay. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Forsyth. Mr. Arquette, would you turn on your microphone, please? Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation and the St. Lawrence County Soil and Water Conservation District for the septic system replacement program and modifying the 2018 budget for the planning office, and I move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Perkins and Ms. Bell. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsyth?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
14 yes, 1 absent.
Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
I offer a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the alternative to incarceration the service plan contract, and I move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Perkins and Mr. Burke. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution proclaiming May 13th to the 19th, 2018 as Police Officer Week in St. Lawrence County, and I move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsyth and Mr. Lightfoot. Any discussion? Is the sheriff here? Would he like to address it? Mr. Wells, would you like to address Police Week, please?
Sure. Appreciate the support of the resolution. There's, I have brought other things to you like this in the past, but we just need to look out there and see what's going on in our society today, what's going on in this country. I'm convinced that the majority of our population supports our police officers, supports our deputy sheriffs, our troopers. I don't think the media always wants us to lean that way with what they think is going on. I think there are problems within any group, in any employment, but I also think it's nowhere near the projection that they talk about. So, counting the deputy sheriffs that are out here in the lobby with you tonight, one of which is a graduate from last week that's there with his training officer, and that's who you're seeing out there in the hall. And both North Country guys who decided to stay here and stay employed in this field. And so I appreciate you supporting the resolution. and everything you do to support them as an agency. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin, for the work that you do. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution for the authorization to abolish an assistant public defender position and create a chief assistant public defender position in the office of the public defender and fill after contract has been established with the New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
I offer a resolution for the authorization to create an assistant public defender in the office of the public defender and fill after contract has been established with the New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution for the authorization to create and fill a nurse practitioner position in community services for delivery system reform incentive payment program, DSRIP clinic, and I move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Arquette, for filling in for Mr. Hooper. Mr. Colbert.
Yes, I offer a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for community services for funding associated with the Child and Family Support Team and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Bay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
14 yes, one absent.
Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution appointing a medical director for the chemical dependency clinic within community services and modifying the 2018 budget for community services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke and Mr. Perkins. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Bay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
14 yes, one absent.
Motion passes. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution appointing a medical director for the mental health clinic within the community services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Burke. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a case supervisor grade B / CPS position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Timmerman. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a case supervisor grade A / CPS position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Denisha and Mr. Perkins. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Paquin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a principal social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Forsythe. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a clerk position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Paquin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to abolish a Secretary 1 position and create and fill an Administrative Assistant position in the Department of Social Services and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Timmerman and Mr. Fay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a Weights and Measures Inspector in the Weights and Measures Department and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Denisha and Mr. Forsythe. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution authorizing the chair to sign contracts for services for the preschool special education program in the Public Health Department and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Paguin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for approval of rates for related services for the preschool special education program and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Arquette and Mr. Paquin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution authorizing an increase in reimbursement rates for the forensic pathologist in the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department Coroner's Program and modifying the 2018 budget for the Public Health Department and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsythe. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
14 yes, 1 absent.
Motion passes. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution authorizing an increase in reimbursement rates for forensic pathologist transcription services in the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department Coroner Program and modifying the 2018 budget for the Public Health Department and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Perkins. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
14 yes, 1 absent.
Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution for authorization the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets for an animal rabies vaccination grant and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Leader. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Colbert.
Offer a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a marketing and licensing agreement between the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department and Walk With A Dog. And
is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke and Ms. Bell. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Offer a resolution for authorization to fill a motor equipment operator position in the Department of Highways and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsythe. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
Offer a resolution adopting mortgage tax report and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Perkins and Ms. Bell. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
I offer a resolution for authorization to fill a senior account clerk position in the treasurer's office and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
I offer a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Social Services and Community Services to resolve work completed out of title and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke and Mr. Forsythe. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Forsythe? LaPierre?
Yes.
Nader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsyth?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
14 yes, 1 absent.
Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
I offer a resolution establishing a standard workday for New York State Retirement System reporting purposes and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsyth. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Timmerman.
I offer a resolution supporting Senate Bill S-8276 and Assembly Bill A-10684 requesting New York State to allow St. Lawrence County Home Rule Authority to grant former county employee Scott Goodfellow Tier 4 status in the New York State and local employees' retirement systems, and rescinding resolutions number 46-2016, number 193-2016, and number 137-2017, and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Back to Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution for the authorization to create and fill a part-time motor vehicle clerk position at the county clerk department, and I move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Denisha and Mr. Forsyth. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Lightfoot. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsyth. Mr. Lightfoot.
I'd like to offer an amendment to this resolution. The resolution would be to eliminate that portion of the recommendation of the salary committee that deals with the sick leave bylaw. I would move for the adoption of that.
Sick leave or health care buyout? Healthcare.
The healthcare, excuse me.
Yep.
Healthcare.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Forsyth. Seconded. The amendment has been seconded. Speak to your amendment, Mr. Lightfoot.
During the course of this, we asked the committee appointed by the county administrator to appoint a board of people having no association with the county. They returned recommendation at the end of March to her that included as part of their recommendation a buyout of the health insurance by the county.
Thank you. That's what this amendment is referring to. There is a policy, I guess nobody was aware of it, entitled the Rules and Regulations of the 2018 Health Insurance Buyout Plan. And the third paragraph of the Rules and Regulations states, current employees must be enrolled in St. Lawrence County's health plan on December 31st of the year prior to the year that they want to receive the buyout. And it continues, or currently receiving the buyout in order to qualify for the offer. It goes on further to say that the buyout payment is based upon your enrollment status in the health insurance plan as of December 31st of that year. My reading of that would make legislators that currently do not avail themselves of county health insurance benefits ineligible to participate in the buyout program. The only ones that I see, if it were offered, would be the current members that avail themselves of the county health insurance program. They would be able to exercise their right to a buyout if it were offered to them. So based upon the policy of the plan, I think it becomes a moot point that the committee had recommended that legislators, all legislators, are able to avail themselves of this. I think that that's proved wrong by the policy, and I would expect that, like anybody else, that this board would enthusiastically support the policies of St. Lawrence County, set the example for everybody else, and therefore I would move that this amendment be adopted, as well as the resolution for the remaining part of the recommendation of the committee.
So we have a motion for an amendment and a second. We have some discussion. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I'm not mistaken, then the existing policy, which if this discussion had never taken place, then if somebody, if one of our Board of Legislators is currently engaging in the health care from the county, that I'm not one of them, but if you are, you could opt out of that. And I think that the number is 4,000 if you were in it at some time in the previous year. So if this did not exist, then we, if I'm not mistaken, again, in clarification, that if we get out of it, it would, that would be $4,000. So any of, in my opinion, any of the healthcare portion, you may or may not have said this is for clarification. So you're pulling any of the healthcare piece out of your resolution altogether?
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
The number, for clarification, the number that the committee that the county administrator formed recommended a 3,000 buyout. I believe it's 4,000 for the other members of our employees for a family plan, and I believe it's 2,000 for a single payer or single individual. Any other discussion on the amendment of Mr. Lightfoot's? Mr. Burke.
I don't support the amendment because I don't support the resolution itself. You know, when we look around at the number of volunteers that there are in the county, the volunteer firemen, first responders, the idea that we would be looking to increase our salaries by 33%. For me, it defies logic. I see it as insensitive to the public. And the frame of reference should not be what happened 18 years ago. 4 years ago, we all ran for office, and we accepted the terms that were provided us at the time. So if there was any frame of reference, it should be from a point in time 4 years ago, not a point in time 18 years ago. I can't imagine anybody coming to their employer and asking for a raise using data that happened 14 years before they were ever hired. Certainly, the argument has been put out about recruiting young people. I think pretty much, at least to the best of my knowledge, there has been relatively little problem recruiting candidates to run for office. And that's before this resolution was voted on tonight. So I guess I'm just wondering why we need a 33% raise.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Mr. Forsyth.
Thank you. John, I disagree with voting our salary increase. We're voting for future boards starting January 1st. Our salaries will not change. If we seek to go for re-election, then yes, we would be the new salary level. Also on page 22, We just voted for a 25% raise in coroner fees, which you voted for, which hadn't been looked at since 2009, and that was a 25% increase, but you wholeheartedly supported that. But now for future boards that haven't been changed in 18 years, you don't. So I don't know where you draw the line on that. I'll support this resolution for future boards wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Mr. Arquette.
Mr. Chairman, and again, I just to clarify my own words, I think that you don't have to be looking to support this resolution to support the amendment. I think the amendment is clear that we are just reinforcing what we have already done with the collective bargaining units in our conversations and are now part of the collective bargaining agreement. So I think we would be going against ourselves to not support the amendment. Thank you.
For clarification, the committee had recommended a $3,000 increase in salary for legislators in 2019, and it also recommended that those who did not participate in the health care plan, which are 10 of us, that they would receive an additional $3,000. What Mr. Lightfoot is recommending, and is his amendment, is the removal of the part where legislators who have health insurance outside of the county would be receiving another $3,000. That is the proposal. Am I correct, Mr. Lightfoot?
Sounds like you got it right.
So what we would be voting on is the removal of the additional $3,000 for those that do not opt for the county health insurance. Mr. Berg.
Then I would argue that we remove any payment whatsoever rather than just leaving it in for those who receive health insurance. If we're going to amend it, let's simply remove it altogether.
Okay. Any more discussion on the amendment? The only comment I have would like to make is the increase that's been suggested of a 33% tax increase, or not tax increase, but percentage. If something in the early 1900s, a certain task was for $100, and we've gone 100 years, and they decided we should raise, they have not increased the cost, but now it's $200, that's a 100% increase. So the math is however you make it. 18 years, as it was pointed out in our committee meeting, is about a 1.6% increase in salary if you were to attain it. So let's have a roll call vote on Mr. Lightfoot's amendment. And this is the vote to remove the buyout of $3,000 for those that are not receiving the health care benefit.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Bay?
Yes.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
No.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Okay.
13 yes, 1 no, 1 absent.
So motion passes. And now we vote on, we need a motion for the amended resolution or not?
No.
Okay. So discussion on the amended resolution. Mr. Timmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Akers. As a finance person, I would argue with your argument that you can do the math any way you want to, because you really can't. This is a compounded thing, just like inflation. Just like interest rates are annually, and you were almost exactly right when you said 1.6, it would be compounded at 1.61% over this 18-year period. As far as setting an example, I would be happy to see pretty much any employees of the county who are willing to give a 1.61% increase every year for the next 18 years. I think that would do wonders for our budget 18 years from now. I don't really see that happening, though. It's insane to argue that this is a 33% increase when it's been 18 years. Mathematically, it's not. Year over year, yeah, but we're talking about 18 years. Even if you throw out the compounding, it's 1.85%. That's just taking the 13 years and dividing it. That's still less than the rate of inflation over the last 18 years. There aren't that many jobs that get no pay increase whatsoever. And as I'm sure everybody knows, I'm not running again. So, no, I am not voting myself a pay raise. None of us are voting ourselves a pay raise. I know I will not be sitting in this seat next year, but nobody who's running knows if they'll be sitting in these seats next year or not. This is long overdue.
Thank you, Mr. Timmerman. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I think everybody in the room knows we're in political season, and this is potentially a political football. And there's a lot of people taking credit for a lot of things that the county's done, and I think a lot of credit is being taken undue. I think as a board, what we should take credit for is we've agreed upon cost-saving measures in a nonpartisan fashion. We've had some disagreements here in this room, but overall, the politics have stayed out of it. I think we should all be proud of that. But I think the true credit for turning the finances in this county around are around our county administrator, our county attorney, the department heads, and the workforce. I think we all agree on that. And if this was our primary employment, I think I would be supporting this. If this was our full-time job and we went 18 years without a raise, I think I would strongly support it. And I don't, again, like I said in finance, I don't begrudge anybody that is supporting it. We put a lot of time in all the time, but as we've continued to squeeze our departments to ultimately turn the finances around, I cannot in good faith, and as negotiations will continue with all of these five unions, that we have six unions, I just can't in clear conscience myself as an individual be involved in a pay raise. I do hope to be here the next 4 years. So potentially I would be voting for myself in 2019 if I'm fortunate enough to be here again. It's a personal thing for me. And that's why I just can't support it right now. I think that we have a long ways to go to get to true financial, certainty. And I just don't think this is the right time to do this, and I just can't support it right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arquette. Anyone else? Mr. Fay.
Yes, I apologize for not being here 2 weeks ago. I was at a business meeting in the Midwest, but I would like to point out some things. I am not supporting this, and I'll give you a few answers. We just voted on creating a part-time job in the motor vehicle department, and we included in it basically the county cost. So basically, I'm looking at some things to see what we're talking about as far as county cost is concerned. As a part-time employee and a public servant, that's what I am, a part-time employee in a public service. Here's what I'm being offered. I'm being offered, basically, as a legislator, if this goes through, $12,000. If I choose, health insurance worth $19,355.09. Dental worth $590.28. Vision $292.08. Pension of $1,768.40 for a total of $34,006.25. These numbers I created from information given to me by payroll. If I was county legislator, it would give me county chair, it would give me a total of $39,743.25. If I was vice chair, it would give me a total of $36,300.43 if chosen. I can't find any part-time job, probably, that even comes close to this. We are part-time employees and public servants. And another few things I'd like to add. I'm sorry if I'm repeating stuff from not being here 2 weeks ago. We just got the state controller's report recently, or maybe it was last year. He said, we've got problems in this area, St. Lawrence County, low income, high taxes, and heavy reliance on government employees. What else did he point out? He pointed out that The state average for poverty in this case is 22.2 in the state. We're at 27.5. He pointed out to us also that basically there's only one county in the north that has less unemployment than, excuse me, more unemployment than we have. I've got a number of pages. I hate to think repeat. We've got in St. Lawrence County, according to this report, 20.6% of home vacancies. Who's paying taxes on them then? Okay. The state average is 11.1%. Okay. I could go on. I've got a number of other things if we want to continue the discussion, but I don't see how anybody can support this pay raise based on these numbers. We're not talking about $3,000. We're talking about how much we can pay a county legislator, just like we look at any other job that we have. And tomorrow I will be on the vacancy committee meeting, and we will be looking at the total cost to this county of what it costs to put that person in the position that isn't vacant, including all the fringe benefits. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Fay. Anyone else? Ms. Bell.
We've worked very hard to get the county out of all of the financial debt that we have had over the years. And personally, I just feel it's counterproductive at this point in time to give ourselves a raise. I just don't feel, as a public servant, you know what you're getting into when you accept your public office, and I just don't feel that we deserve a raise at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has not spoken yet? Mr. Denisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to what Mr. Fay has spoken about, a number of people, it's no secret how I feel about health insurance. I've made that very clear. And I think this is a, while it's not perfect, I think it's a step in the right direction to addressing full-time benefits for part-time employees. That being said, you know, this is there's nothing that we can do here this evening to address that. But like all things, you know, sometimes the time is not right. But I sense a feeling that we may have an opportunity here to address some of those issues. I'm happy that because that was a major thing that I did not like about this resolution, and I'm happy that we have struck the healthcare buyout, which I think that sends a message. You know, as far as the pay, you know, I had someone ask me or say a couple years ago, you know, the only reason that you're in this on the Board of Legislators is for the money. Well, I would hope no one would think that. If someone thought that a reason I was in it for the money, I would certainly hope they wouldn't vote for me, because I left a very lucrative job so that I could do this. However, you know, based on the amount of time, and I'm guessing that I average probably 24 hours a week, maybe sometimes a little bit less, sometimes more. But again, it's not about the money. However, I do believe that there are qualified young people that may consider getting into local politics, but the time, you know, if they have to balance, you know, I've got to give up overtime to attend a board meeting. So when it costs them money, especially young people that are trying to raise a family, I think that's where the increase in the base pay of the legislators may bear some fruit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Anyone else? Mr. Timmerman.
In many ways, I agree with Mr. Fay. I've had problems with the extra benefits. The pay, I think, is extremely low. Even after the increase, I think the pay will be extremely low. I do have concerns with legislators that are supposed to go bargain with the unions on things like the health insurance contracts, and then they can turn around and take advantage of those, as has been described by Mr. Forsyth, the Cadillac health insurance plan that we have. To me, that's somewhat of a conflict of interest. Maybe we do need separately to look at the fringe and see if the fringe should be available. I know in Potsdam they actually voted to get rid of fringe for their council members. But when it comes to just the pay, which is what I'm looking at, that's all I've gotten since I've been here for my 4 years. When it comes to just the pay, yeah, I do believe that a 1.6% increase is justified. But I definitely think some of this other stuff maybe needs a look-see before we turn things over to the next board.
Anyone else? Mr. Burke.
Response to Mr. Forsythe. The reimbursement rates was for forensic pathologists, not for coroners. It's the coroner's program, but it's a forensic pathologist. And the reason you pay them more is because they're very much in demand. If you'd like Dana to address that, I'm sure she'd be happy to. But it's supply and demand. And these are the guys that do the autopsies. And one other thing on the raises, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe Ruth could clarify this, but for those legislators that are enrolled in the retirement system, are we not considered full-time for that?
As far as the characterization, I believe that's a payroll function, but I don't believe that it means full-time. I can get you clarification on that, though.
But it was my understanding that every year for people enrolled in the retirement system, for every year, they get a year credit. That's not true?
It's prorated based on their amount, like on the resolution you adopted tonight, standard workday reporting. That's how it's prorated for New York State. And we have all of those for all legislators that are enrolled in New York State retirement.
So I guess the question would be, what are our hours?
They're completed by a 90-day log that's then formula-driven that provides you with a number much smaller. So if you go back to the resolution, you can look at the numbers reported this evening. One second, let me just pull that up. So it's much, much less than a full-time position reporting.
Okay. Mr. Arquette.
Yes, sir. Mr. DeNisi just said that he was happy that the health care or the buyout got struck from the agreement. I believe he's referring
from this resolution
to the amendment that got proposed. But the point I was trying to make earlier was that if this is not happening right now, if Greg does not get the county's health insurance, he could opt in to the health care insurance tomorrow. And the calendar year turns, if he opts out under existing policy, he's going to be $4,000 richer.
No, not according to this. The resolution that passed, the amendment that Joe has proposed, that portion of what that committee recommended, that has been struck. It's part of this amended resolution.
That's not what that's a different item. This is already, Johnny, if you could help me with this, I think you understand where I'm going, that we all right now are eligible for that buyout without this resolution. This is the policy that I was referring to. Our bargaining unit people, And every employee here that gets health care, can, if you join the plan, the following year you can opt out for $4,000.
Go ahead.
So if employee is currently not in the plan, and we're not in the plan when this went into effect, they are not eligible. If they opt in because of a qualifying event, you can't just opt in because you want to opt in. It has to be an open enrollment or qualifying event. And then you decide to opt out and show proof of coverage elsewhere, then yes, they are eligible for the buyout.
Absolutely.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Tony, but if you look at it this way, they opt in. I opt in tomorrow. I'm going to start paying the premium to belong to the plan.
Yep.
I think in the course of a year, it was on them that I would spend as much as I would get. Okay, so I don't think that it really is not a benefit. It's a wash, at least in my mind. I have no idea exactly what it costs.
Right.
It seemed to me that with paying 14, 15, 16% of the premium for a family plan, that premium, I don't know what the chairman has taken out of his check. Okay. It's got to be probably pretty close to $400. So it's going to cost somebody who uses it, a family plan, $7,000 a year to get four.
Yes.
Not a real smart thing to be doing.
But I just wanted, if I may, I just wanted to make it clear that I understand what the amendment did. It took the automatic awarding of $3,000 to anybody that wasn't on the plan, basically.
No, that was never,
That's what it did.
That's the committee's recommendation.
Right. The amendment.
Right, Mr. Lightfoot. Amendment deletes that. Okay. Mr. Timmerman.
I would never want to speak for you, Mr. Arquette, but I think what he's trying to point out is that just because we eliminated it from the automatic that's in the thing doesn't mean that somebody who's still on the plan can't still do that. Not saying it's a good idea or not either way, just that that's a fact.
Mr. Baglin.
Ruth, for future reference, I would strongly suggest that you tell the next board, if they're interested in doing a raise, that they start it off in very small incremental. I mean, we were put in this situation by past boards that I was part of that didn't address the payment issue. However, as speaking earlier in the night with a few of the guys, I was willing to support this if that was taken out, if that $3,000 buyout was taken out. But if it's not taken out for everybody, then I can't support it. I'm fine. I can rationalize people getting, needing insurance, and I can rationalize any legislator taking that insurance. What I can't rationalize is getting paid for not taking that insurance. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to change, and I'm not going to be able to support.
Well, we're going to have Ruth. Will you speak to that, please?
I think part of the confusion in this discussion is we are 1 year into changing our third-party administrator, and we are 1 year into offering a buyout. So as you all know, going in last year in April, offering a buyout to our employees, we did not extend that benefit to legislators who weren't in the plan. So currently, no legislator gets a buyout. So I don't think when the committee looked at this, they thought, well, they could be eligible for a $2,000 or $4,000 benefit because it hadn't been something when they looked at the benefits that are provided that's in the mix. What I think would resolve this issue, if there was an opportunity to do so, would be to amend this resolution to remove the eligibility for a buyout for legislators. I think that would resolve the $2,000 or the $4,000 benefit that could potentially down the road be availed if someone did enroll and then opted out, because you do have to be in the plan first and then opt out. If you wanted to amend to provide for an exclusion, that could happen in this resolution also.
Mr. Timmerman.
I would be happy to offer such an amendment.
So your amendment is to remove legislators from any potential for a buyout. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Lightfoot, and Mr. Denisha. Any discussion on the amendment by Mr. Timmerman? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So that is part of the amended resolution. We're back to the discussion on the amended resolution in its totality. Mr. Burke.
Since we invested so much time to take a look at what legislators should be paid, are we going to do the same for various departments? I mean, Ruth gave us a report that we are down, I think it was 150 employees, Ruth, over
anyway.
Time.
Anyway.
Are we going to look at disparities in wages, say, for the sheriffs compared to the troopers? I mean,
well, tonight's resolution, John, this is right.
This isn't about the amendment. We're back in the
yes.
It's
certainly.
Do you have the floor, Mr.
Certainly, Michael? Mr. Burke, there would be opportunity to raise the issue if you could concern your comments with the amended resolution, that would be appropriate.
And that's exactly what I was doing.
We'll continue then.
So you, the amended resolution is rectifying, if, to my understanding, a disparity in legislator's salary.
Right.
Okay. And my point is, are we going to do this for other employees? Are we going to take a look, or do we wait until the opportunity presents itself so that the county's coming into to having a decent fund balance, and much of it due to concessions or agreements offered by our employees? So now that we've, and I assume this is going to be voted on, so now that we've taken care of ourselves, is there any room to take a look at other employees, other people who this may also be an issue for?
Mr. LaPierre.
Yes, that's done through union negotiations every several years.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so some closing comments. It has been a bipartisan effort to achieve what we have done. There's no doubt about it. It's been collegial. We've worked together. We recognize that we are in a spot, and we can all lay claim that we participated in. And there's no doubt that this has been a process that has been accomplished by our department heads, our county administrator under our direction, department heads, and by our employees. There's no doubt about it. And it needed to be done. We are essentially providing the same services that we provided when we had 150 more employees, with the exception of the CHA. And so we are more efficient. I don't hear things from my constituents, from my community, that the county is lacking. They do talk about the roads, but we are doing the best of that we can with the money and the staff that we had. Everybody has tightened their belt, much like everybody in the community. Particularly communities like Messina. Messina has been through hell because of all the plants closing. It's transformed their society. No one probably can speak more to that other than maybe the farmers are going through a similar process. But it's been a collective effort. We've had some innovation. Our county attorney, Mr. Button, has been the leader in incident defense. That has been become a role model for the state. We're going to start seeing the fruits of that. That could save us a couple of $1 million. Mr. Forsyth, being the insurance man that he is, insisted on a different third-party administrator, and I think that's part of it. That health care committee, that's been a change. There's been many changes. To just reiterate, we keep saying this is a raise for us. It's not a raise for us. It's a raise for anybody who serves on this board in 2019. It's a raise that was recommended by a committee unbeknownst to us. Didn't know when it took place. Don't know any of the individuals personally. That is their recommendation. It was based on a survey of the 58 counties in our surrounding counties. So I think that we can decide right now on this resolution, and we'll do a roll call vote.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
No.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay?
No.
Timmerman?
Yes.
Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
No.
Arquette?
No.
Paquin?
Yes.
Bell?
No.
Forsythe? Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
9 yes, 5 no, 1 absent.
Okay. The next resolution passes. Next resolution is the reappointment of the Republican Election Commissioner. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Forsythe and Mr. Lightfoot. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried. County Administrator's report, Ruth?
Yep. As you all are aware, the county last Tuesday moved to summer hours from Monday to Friday, 8 to 4. The court system, for the first time in decades, stayed on the 9 to 5 schedule. This has created a burden in a minimum of 10 departments for the county. I've asked the department heads of those involved to work with their staff with the flex scheduling availability, particularly those who are routinely present at appearances, and to work with their schedules if folks are called into courts. But I did want to make you aware, we will track expenses associated with this great inconvenience to the efficient services provided to the courts by the county. On May 23rd, we held a facilitated meeting by Excellus in Burnham. We held the quarterly union health insurance meeting. There were four unions represented at that meeting, and out of our discussions, it was a good discussion that yielded that we'll schedule a meeting on June 25th at 3 o'clock with PROACT to come in. We've looked at health insurance. Next, we'll look at the pharmaceutical costs associated with the provision of health insurance. Tomorrow, as Mr. Fay mentioned, we'll review at Vacancy Review Committee 8 positions. Also, I've encouraged departments with anticipating retirements to have the discussions with the members of Vacancy Review Committee. This Thursday evening, the New York Conference of Mayors will be meeting. They've invited a presentation on the workers' comp. You've all been invited to that meeting. It's going to be held at the club. Last Friday, I attended a county administrators meeting in Syracuse. They provided us with a New York State update, citing the major areas of discussion in Albany right now, including sports betting, teacher evaluation, discussing the legalization of marijuana, and an advocacy for child victims. They're occupying most of their time. On your desks is a document regarding the property tax cap, and this was shared with us. It's prospective estimates at this point, but it appears as though for 2019 our tax cap will actually be a 2%. The first time since 2013. As you look down through the years, and there's certainly copies available for the public, the lowest that it went was in 2017 at a 0.67, you'll all remember. Last year, the number began to buoy at 1.83%, and projections, as I mentioned, are looking like 2%. They have some baseline projections below that in the out years, and I provided a copy to you. Certainly better news for us as we begin the budget process this month. We'll start our training sessions, and we're scheduling departments to meet with the budget team. Also at the meeting on Friday, they had a presentation by the Office of Indigent Legal Services. As you've been hearing through the context of both position creation and the plan for implementation by 2023, St. Lawrence County, we are much further ahead in the process than most other counties at this point. We hope to stay in that place with the state. They're agreeable to a 5-year contract, but they're also being relatively specific about the direction of those monies, as you've heard. Quality improvement, upstate caseload, as well as caseload relief, and the council at first appearance. What this prompted in that discussion was the balance between the funding going to public defense, indigent defense, and the district attorneys. Many counties, including the 5 that have been dealing with the Hurl Herring implementation, are hearing much from their district attorneys about equalization and staffing, and that's a county expense. So that's something that we're going to talk with Washington County about how they've managed. Many offices of the public defender in other counties don't have the staffing levels that we do. Certainly a topic of discussion going forward. As we negotiate this contract and as we begin to put in place additional staff, we'll have to talk about the impact of that. We do have a labor management meeting scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. Next Wednesday, we'll be starting with negotiations with the deputies and deputy supervisors again on the 13th. And there is a North Country Redevelopment Task Force scheduled on the 14th, next Thursday. I did want to remind you that the Audit Committee, we've scheduled another meeting to be held on the 25th. That will help us provide both a recommendation to you on the reserves that you created a few months back, as well as I will be looking for a recommendation from the Audit Committee with regard to the fund balance policy. So I'll share some information with you prior to that meeting. And finally, I'll be assembling the shared services panel again. I know a few of you have come to me with questions about when that group will get back together. I'm hoping this month we'll be able to pull that group together to both review the initiatives we adopted in last year's plan, as well as look forward to see the initiatives that are of interest to the group. Certainly, while the county, in my role, have to facilitate that process, it really is an opportunity to partner with our both towns, villages, and the city. Any questions?
Thank you, Ruth. Committee reports. Does anybody have anything they'd like to report from the committees that they're members of? At this time, old and new business. Does anyone have any old or new business? Okay. Executive session. We have a need for all four.
We have two litigation items, three negotiation items, two personnel items, and eight potential candidates for appointments.
Okay, thank you much. I would entertain a motion for executive session. Mr. Timmerman, seconded by Mr. Forsyth. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Mr. Arquette, appointments, please.
Yes.
Mark T. Dalton, 37 Judson Street, Canton. Terry Fuca, 52 Farm Street in Canton. And Aaron Johnson, 12 East Hill Road, South Colton.
Second by Mr. Paguin. Is any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Arquette.
Thank you, sir. For the Fair Housing Task Force, William T. Jones, 34 Cornell Drive in Canton. And Courtney Toms, 156 Center Street, Messina, New York.
Okay, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Paguin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Services Committee, Mr. Colburn. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Burke and Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else? If not, a motion to adjourn. Mr. Timmerman, seconded by Mr. Lapeer. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen and ladies.